Perek Tet Zayin Pasuk Chesu Yud. Here we go. The Pesukim say, "V'nelsen Aaron al Shnei Zirim Goralos." Aaron put on top of the two goats lotteries. Goralach Ba Hashem, Goralach Ba Azazel. One girl was for Hashem, one girl was for Azazel, and that's what we're going to concentrate on today. The Hikuv Aaron is a Seir Asher Allah Love a Girl Hashem Vaseu Chatos. The first one was brought by Aaron. It was brought over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was made as a Chatos. Vaseir Asher Allah Love a Girl Azazel Yomad Chai Lifnei Hashem. And the goat that was chosen as a girl for Azazel was stayed alive in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'chaper Alav to be a kapara L'shalach Oso LaAzazel HaMinbara to be sent over to Azazel to the desert. You should know the word LaAzazel is a strange word, and I don't think I'm pronouncing it correctly Sephardi style. I don't know how to pronounce it exactly. The Rashbam says the Lamed is a mistake, that the Lamed should not be there and it shouldn't be pronounced that way, or it should be LaAzazel or something like that, but LaAzazel is a little it's a patach under the ayin. It's a patach chataf. So I don't know how to pronounce it in the Rashbam. It's something
under the ayin.
Can't have something regular. Right. So I don't know how exactly it's supposed to be, how exactly to read it, to be honest with you, but it does say the following. So first of all, let's try to understand, what does Azazel mean? What does that word Azazel mean more than anything else? So Rashi says, I'm sorry?
It's supposed to be just Azaz, with Asalam?
Just as, no, it's supposed to be Lazazel, but regardless, the way we pronounce it in Shul should be La'azazel. It's just a weird word. The Rashbam does talk about it. So what is Azazel? Rashi says, Hu har kosh az v'kosha. It is a strong and, I guess you could say, a powerful mountain. Now, obviously, I'm not referring to strong or powerful as in the strength or the brute strength of the mountain, but it's a big, tall, powerful, big mountain. It looks like a strong mountain. Now the reason why is because he's taking it from the words as and ale. That's what he's coming from. As in O, strong. And ale is a name that's used in order to show some type of power to the item or something hard. And that's what it means, that we're talking about a huge cliff that was around. It's likely, I mean, depending if it was close to Yerushalayim, that it'll be around the area where is right now Gay Bar Ben Hinnom, which is right outside of the old city, right around that area.
Further away?
It's not that far. I mean,
it would be because they sent 10 people.
According to the Gemara, if you go with the Gemara and you go with 2,000 amos outside, depends on how big those 2,000 amos were each one, but it could be right around there. It's not that far. It really was not that far. We'll go through Azaz would be, and then El.
Azaz
and then El. The funny thing is that Unkelos and Targum Yonasan don't translate the word. If it really does mean Az, and it's referring to a strong mountain, and that's what the word Azazel means, then Unkelos would translate it as such. He would say Har Kasha in Aramaic, that's what he would do, but he doesn't. He just says the word Azazel. Sorry?
It's not as a person or a place.
Yes, exactly. So the way Unkelos and the way Targum Yonasan seem to say it is that it's a certain area that's known as Azazel, and that's what it's referring to. The Ibn Ezra seems to say the same, that it's a well-known mountain that was called that name. He says there's a Yesh Omrim that this was near Har Sinai, but that's really far away and hard to get to on Yom Kippur itself. I'm not sure what he means by that exactly. The Rashbam says in Pshat that if you didn't take any Midrashim into account or the Gemaras, in Pshat you'd say that what it is that Azazel just meant that it was together with the other goats in the desert. That Az is the name of a goat, and thus it went out to the flocks of goats in the desert, especially since just in Parshas Metzora we had the fact that your Shalach Eset you take one of the two birds by the Tahara of a Metzora, you send it out to the field and it lives with the other birds. So to over here, this Azazel would be that you take out the goat, the living goat, and you let it live with the other goat. It would be the exact same thing. So in Pshat, that's what he would say. But regardless, the Rashbam says that, and the Gemara says otherwise, the Rush says simply break up the word, Az Azal, that the goat went outside of Yerushalayim, that Az means goat and Azal means it went, and that's in reverse. But the truth is, there's tons of Rishonim here. If I wanted to give a share on Rishonim on what the word Azazel meant, we could be here all day and we'd still have like 25 different Pirushim and just what Rishonim say about the word Azazel. Let's get into what exactly it means. There's a crazy Ibn Ezra over here that says the following at the end of his prayers. He says, if you're able to understand the secret, which is after the word of Azazel, if you want to understand the secret of the word after Azazel, then you will understand what's behind the name. Again, so if you want to understand it, you have to go behind the secret, behind what's there. I will reveal this secret to you, says the Ibn Ezra, when you're 33, and then you will know it. That's what the Ibn Ezra says. I will reveal to you when you're 33. Not the first thing you say is, what are you, 40? I am 34 right now, so I have to know this. I mean, this is going to be right up there for me. So what exactly does Ibn Ezra mean by 33? There's a lot of different pshatim. There are a lot of different pshatim, and it's an amazing idea. So let's go into this. I'm going to give five different pshatim for what he means by 33. The Abi Ezri, which is a parish written on the Ibn Ezra, says that it's a reference to Bilam. When did Bilam die? At the age of 33, says the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kufkas. Died at 33, and thus the word afterward, Hamidbara, referring to the desert that came afterward, refers to how Bilam turned toward the desert when he wanted to curse out Bnei Yisrael. Why Bilam? We have to know where Bilam came from. Where did Bilam learn his Kisha from? Bilam already was a master magician, but he had learned only his magic from the people on earth, meaning the people that were in Mitzrayim, the people that were regular Mechashvan. The actual Kishuf that he needed to learn, he got from Azel and Azoil. Azel is also known as Shamchazai and Azoil. Shamchazai and Azoil are the names of angels that are known as the Nephilim. In Bereshit, toward the end of Sefer Bereshit, it mentions that there were Nephilim that came down, and they're mentioned again by the Meraglim. The Meraglim said, we saw the sons of the Nephilim in the land of Eretz Yisrael. Now, what were these Nephilim? What is it referred to? Fallen angels. There are many comic books on this subject, and they are complete and utter kfir and apikorsis. But I will tell you that there is a Gemara that says in Yuma Samach Zayin Mabez, it says that Azazel was a kapara for what Azza and Azoel did to Klal Yisrael. What Azza and Azoel really did to the entire world. So the truth is, the way we could all be looking at this is a way of God showing the Mekatrik and the accusers not to say anything against the Jews. Two Malachim did so before, and look what happened to them. So what exactly happened? So let's understand what Shamchaz and Azoel were. This medrash is brought down by the Yalkut Ruveni and Parshas Balak and the Miyam Lois as well. It's also in pieces brought down by the Yalkut Shimoni. I'm going to add on a couple things that I learned from the Chidah and the Chasam Sofer, but they're basically straight out from the Yalkut Ruveni and the Miyam Lois. When Bilam saw the Jews leaving in all of their glory from Mitzrayim, he was insanely jealous of them and tried to pull out the hairs of his head, trying to think of ideas to try to kill the Jews. He went bald in his hair and his beard, and he realized he was never going to come up with an idea of some way to stop the Jews from doing what they were going to do. So instead, he went and he flew to Azza and Azoil. Azza and Azoil are two angels that are in the Harei Choshech, in the mountains of darkness. They were the Nephilim who said to Hashem, when Hashem had made man and man had started to sin, they said, Ma enosh kisis karenu, what is mankind that you should remember of God? Forget about the people, forget about all the people on earth, and just let the Malachim serve you. Just let there be angels and let there be nothing else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them that it's not the people who are sinning, it's the land that's causing them to sin. Their physicality, their coarse physicality is making them sin. The Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, try us. We'll try to go down there and we'll see what can happen. And somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent them down to earth with human forms to be able to see what they would do. They were giants, absolute giants, and immediately when they came down, they started to sin. They grabbed women away from married women away from men, and they were with, together with Nama, the granddaughter, great-great-great-granddaughter of Cain. This is Nama, the sister of Tuval Cain. Until the Mabul came, and they were punished. Their punishment was they were banished behind the mountains of Choshech, and that they had to stay and remain behind the mountains of Choshech for all time. They're still Malachim. They did have a physical form, but the physical form is now gone. Their Malach forms, so to speak, were punished by being placed behind Harei Choshech. Now, what do they do? In their forms, Azza is Shamchazai, was given a punishment, something called Kaf HaKela. Kaf HaKela is when you're constantly being boomeranged from one end of the world to the other end of the world, seeing on one side Olam Hazza, on the other side Olam Haba, and not being able to be inside both. Just going back and forth and back and forth. Azoil had eyes all over his body. If you remember the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chaf Amud Beis, it mentions the Malach Mavis also has eyes all over his body. Remember, it's Azoil had eyes all over his body, and he's hung by his eyelids on hooks behind the mountains of darkness. Nonetheless, he's still able to see everything he can. Again, when we're dealing with these types of things, I can't tell you physically how this works. I don't understand how a Malach can ever be punished. But regardless, this is what the Medrash says about them. There's something to gain from it.
So they have this given Bechira?
When Malachim are on earth in a human form, they're given Bechira. Otherwise, they have no Bechira. So too with Raphael, Michal, and Gabriel, they were also given Bechira in a way, and that's how they could possibly be punished. But yes, they have forms Jews that they could be punished. As Malachim, they have an impossibility. They can't go against what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to do. But in physical forms, they do have that possible. When they saw Bilam coming through the mountains of darkness, flying up to them, because Bilam could fly, and that's pretty awesome, they called out loud to great flying serpents. I'll tell you, these things are described like dragons. They were made of fire, and they had scales in their body, and looked like big snakes. That's what they were like. So I would assume they're dragons. The magician who wanted to enter would have to wait at the entrance area, not be scared of the dragons until a certain ruach was sent to him, who took the form of a small creature that looked like a cat with two tails, tiny legs, and the head of a snake. Pretty cool creature, right? The magician, I don't know why it looked like a cat. If it had two tails, really small legs, and the head of a snake, I would think it would just be a snake. But either way, it says the body of a cat. That's what it says. The magician would have to take the ashes of a white rooster and offer its incense to the creature and throw it in its face, which is the way to be able to go. So it would take him to where Azza and Azoel were. You all knew that, though. I mean, I didn't even have to say that out loud. Bilam did so and learned by these two, so to speak, angels for 50 days. When Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, that's when Bilam left. So 50 days from when the Jews left Mitzrayim would be Matan Torah for the Jews. It says in Kohelet. Everything is made opposite the other. Just like there was a Har Sinai of Kedusha, there was a Har Sinai of Tumah. And that's where Bilam was. Bilam was learning Torah for 50 days, however you want to call it, getting up to the level of Tumah, the 50th level of Tumah, to be on that ultimate level. I don't know if he had 40 days on Har Sinai as well, the Har Choshech, for those 40 days as well. But that's what he did. He was then sent out with the dragons and sent out into the rest of the world. There's something that one has to do with dragons that has to do with Shekhla Zerla Batala. I'm not so sure what it is and what it's referring to. I couldn't translate it correctly and I didn't have a chavrusa last night, so I had no way of understanding exactly what it is. But that's the story. Since Bilam sinned with Shamchazai and Azoel, and that Shamchazai and Azoel is Azazel, so therefore over here we're giving a kapara for what Az and Azoel brought into the world. The tumma, the destruction, the disgustingness that they brought into the world were being makapar. I'm sorry?
Why is the Bnei Yisrael responsible for the kapara?
Good question. Good question. It affects the entire world, and therefore we are responsible because nobody else will do it. That's the real answer why. Why aren't the...
Malachim
don't have that ability. No. There's no choice, no davening, no anything by them. It's a different world by them. They're required to do whatever they have to do. There's no kapara by them. Yeah.
That answers questions.
Yeah.
What you want to do in Yom Kippur is to appease the Kohen Tumah so it's not rampant in the world so you can focus on the Kabbalah of the day. So that's why you're giving over.
Hold on with that thought. I'm going to get to this. Basically, the idea of the Ramban. So hold on to that for 1 second. That's the first answer that is referring to Bilam when he says 33 is referring to the age of Bilam. Another 33. Can you think of another 33 in the Torah? There's not too many, I'll tell you honestly. There's really not too many. What? Ahitob was 34. Doigah Domi was 33. I'd be okay with that. Ibn Ezra says that when you're 33, I'll explain it to you. That's what he says. I'll explain this to you only when you're 33. So is there another 33 in the Torah? I'm sorry? Lag BaOmer, but not in the Torah itself. That is a good call, though. I know we're in Lag BaOmer mode already. It's only a couple days away. The other 33 is Yaakov Avinu. When he went down to Mitzrayim, there were 33 children of Leah that went down. But if you count it up, it's only 32. Only if you count Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu himself is the 33rd. Yaakov Avinu would be considered the 33rd. Says the Avi Ezri again, that what it refers to is Yaakov Avinu did the exact same thing they were doing with the Seir La'Azazel now. As Binyamin just said, the Seir La'Azazel is an appeasement to the side of Tumah. We're giving you a gift, so to speak, so that you don't say anything bad about us. Yaakov did that. Yaakov gave gifts to Esav. This happened before. The very first Seir La'Azazel, a goat that went to Azazel, was the goats and the cows and the camels and everything that was given from Yaakov to Esav that happened years ago. So the first Seir La'Azazel. So when you're 33, you'll understand it. If you understand what happened by Yaakov, you know, and Esav, then you'll understand what happens over here by the Seir La'Azazel as well. And that's what he's trying to say over here. And that could be why we don't call it an A's over here. What do we call it? The Seir La'Azazel. Because the original goat was sent to Esav, who's also known as Seir. He's known as Seir. And that's the idea behind it. Yeah, what are you going to say?
He's a human, like human form. He's not like some spectral
right.
God-like.
Right.
So
it was very...
But what's the point? What was the concept of it? What did Yaakov want to do by sending it? That's the idea of what we're trying to do over here as well. Now, how does that work in spirituality? Okay, that's a good kasha, but we're not doing it on our own. God is telling us to do it.
Well, that logic, Cain and Hevel gave gifts also, gave gifts to Hashem. Every korban is like that.
Agreed, but that's to Hashem. Giving a gift to a side, something that's tummy, though,
awesome.
We don't do. In fact, yeah, if we did it on our own, that would be awesome. That'd be pure avodah zarah.
First off, like, in some way, sometimes it's avodah zarah.
Okay, so hold on.
It is shokhan. The other side.
It is shokhan.
But that's awesome.
It's usher to offer shokhan, or it's usher to take. It'd be usher to offer shokhan if it was lifnei iver l'sita mechshol. But the best of my knowledge, Azazel is not a human being. So there's no issue of lifnei iver when you're doing something to a malach, if that's possible. Number two, remember, HaKadosh Baruch was telling us to do it. That makes everything different. Everything's different when HaKadosh Baruch says do it. Again, if somebody got up and said, like, I got an idea, let's sacrifice to Satan now. Of course. You should kill that guy. You should take him out back. You should beat him to death. That's fine. I don't have any problem with that. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about a guy who's getting up and saying, this is what the Torah says. We're trying to understand what it is. That's number two. That's our second shot over here. He gives another shot based on a pasuk in Yechezkel and says that he can refer to it when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. That's another thing altogether. The Daz Kanan gives a fourth answer. He says that it refers to God. Gal Eid was Yaakov Avinu with Laban. Yaakov and Laban made a bris with one another that they would never have dealings with one another. Yaakov wouldn't deal with Laban anymore, and Laban wouldn't deal with Yaakov. This is after he ran away. They made the bris at Gal Eid. Gal, Lamed Gimel, is 33, and then Eid. But the real shot that Das Kedim is saying is like this. Gal Eid is two words. It may be spelled as one, Gal Eid, but it's really two different words. There's the Gal, the pile, and the Eid, the witness made thereof. It's Gal and Eid completely separate from one another. So too over here, Azazel is two words. Az, the goat, the A's, Azal, went somewhere outside. And that's how the Das Kedim understands. You just got to split it up. There's a Ben Ish Chai in Halachos, in Parshas, Vayetze, that in the very beginning in Shana Rishona, that is an unreal idea on this bris between Lavan and Yaakov. You know, so if you want to look it up, it's Ben Ish Chai and Halachos in Parshas Vayetze. It goes through absolutely unbelievable. The Rush says the best answer though. Okay, so it says over here in Pasuk Ches, right over here, right? He says, if you go 33, not that if you are 33, then I'll explain it to you. If you go 33, if you count up 33 psukim from Pasuk Ches, count up 33 psukim altogether, you're going to get down, I counted up before, I'm not going to do it in front of all of you, Yud Zayin Zayin. Yud Zayin Zayin says the following, 33 psukim later, V'l'yizbuku odiz ivcheim la'seir, and you should no longer shecht korbanos to the goats. Meaning to the demons. Asherim zonim achrayim chukas omtiyazos lahem ledorosam. Says Ibn Ezra, if you understand this pasuk, 33 psukim later, why you're not allowed to shecht to the shadim, to demons, then you'll understand why over here I'm telling you to shecht to Azazel. That's what Ibn Ezra is saying. Go understand that pasuk over there, 33 psukim later, and then you'll understand over here. That's the Rush. Okay, you know what I find funny? That the Avi Ezri, who was an Achron, who wrote in Ibn Ezra, didn't realize what the Rush said about the Ibn Ezra. The Rush was a Rishon. It's very strange. But regardless, that's out there in and of itself. The Rush himself says that we specifically bring this goat out to the desert to be mechaper for whole chayim midbaros. Those who go out to the desert who don't bring korbanos for themselves. Azazel refers to the kokov of Madin, the star of Mars, which allows for murder and war to be brought into the world. And the shokhat is for that, to not allow murder and war inside the world. But that really takes a lot of pshad. That takes a lot of work. Let's understand this. There's a Ramban here. And the Ramban is awesome. What we're going to do now is the Ramban. I'm going to give you his mushel in a bigger form from the Shari Aron. Then I'm going to bring down the Or HaChaim HaKadosh and end with a very short shach. Here's what the Ramban says. We don't want the Satan to be mekatrik, to accuse us when we bring our korbanos on Yom Kippur. We don't want him like that. We want him to be a melech yosher. We want him to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, these Jews deserve to be rewarded. On Yom Kippur, we want that to happen. We want the Satan to see how we're acting like Malachim on this holy day. That we're going barefoot, we're wearing all white, we're going whatever it is, we're acting in such a special way. So we give him a gift, so we'll be amenable to do so. But how is this not Avodah Zarah? Your question, Dave. How is this not Avodah Zarah? It's pure Avodah Zarah. That's exactly what the other nations of the world do. They get in with a certain malach, a certain koach, a certain idol that's in front of them. That idol will help them whenever they need to do something. That's exactly what they do. This is exactly what the other Avodah Zarah do. So why is this not a problem? The truth is, he says, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world through Malachim and through Kohos. I know this is hard to understand, and it's not really for us to be able to certainly understand. Kadosh Baruch Hu allows the world to run through, not himself directly, but indirectly through the Kohos. He allows for Shetzem Chanchal, that is, the five planets, the sun and the moon, to be highly involved in bringing Hashpa to the world. That means the sun, the moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn, which are the only planets that we can see, have the ability to give us everything we need in this world, and each one gives a certain koach in the world. Ma'adim, Mars, brings about warfare and bloodshed. Okay, that although that's a bad thing, but there is a Hashpa, sometimes it's needed in certain ways, and that brings about death in the world. Tzedek, on the other hand, brings righteousness, good things into the world, like riches. And that's something else. And we don't know how that works, how planets are able to give Hashpa. What does that mean? The sun, the moon. We don't understand how that works. But somehow, Kadosh Baruch Hu does do it, that those are the abilities for him to go through. The constellations are real things by us. They really do mean something. They are abilities, again, for Kochos HaKedusha to come down to Klal Yisrael. And although we don't fully understand why, it's because we lost the powers of astrology and astronomy that Avraham was an expert at. Avraham was an absolute expert, and he was able to figure these things out by seeing these things. And so too there are Malachim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a blade of grass to grow. The Malach is the one that lets it grow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling the Malach what to do, but the Malach is the one that's there. There is a Malach that is in charge of destruction and warfare and Pirut. He's connected to the Mazel of Madin. He is his Chelek. His nation in this world is Esav, and he has messengers known as Shaitan, known as demons, that do his bidding, that take on the physical form of goats. That's satyrs, by the way, or fawns, however you want to put it, those types of creatures, to do what they need to do. That's where it comes from, that they were demons that were there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires for that person, that Malach, that's in charge of that chelik of the world, to get a gift, so they'd be more connected to us in Yom Kippur, to allow it, I guess you can say, for good things to happen to us. And although it's forbidden for us to do this on our own, says the Ramban, no one can ever do this on their own, and if you would, you're chayiv misa. You're chayiv misa for doing this on your own. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us on Yom Kippur, this is my koach, my power, my Malach, and I'm giving it from me. It's coming from me. It's my korba. It's the ear that should be going to me. I'm giving it over, and I'm telling you to take it over and give it over to that koach as well, to give it over to that shliach of destruction, that sam, or azazel, or however you want to call it. Now, he gives a mashal to understand it, and the mashal is a good mashal. The mashal is, a man made a feast for his king, and he invited over the king and whoever the king wanted to invite, and he gave the king everything. Everything was out of his desire for the king, for his honor of the king. That's all he gave it for. It was not for anybody else there. He couldn't care less about anybody else there. All he was thinking about is the king, the king, the king, the entire time. The king goes up to the host and says, can you prepare a portion for one of my ministers over there? My minister of war. My minister of war would like a portion. I want you to give my portion, a part of my portion, over to him. And he sends the host. It's really coming from the king. The king is giving it over, so to speak, to allow for that minister to get what he needs. He's the one giving it over, but the messenger is through this guy. And that's the reference of what we're doing. We don't name the goats for Azazel. We don't even call the name on the goat. What do we do in order to pick the goat for Azazel? We make lotteries. Because we don't want to say, this goat is going to Azazel. That would be a avodah zarah. So instead we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want this? You pick. You pick. Okay? There's two lotteries inside there. They put their hand in, one right hand, one left hand. They pull out. Whichever one you want, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're the one who decides which goat is going where. The right hand goes on this goat, the left hand goes on that goat. You decide which one is going to be for Azazel. Because we shouldn't do it ourselves. We don't even shecht it. That would be bringing a korban to a side of Avodah Zarah. We don't shecht it at all. We bring it over to a cliff, we push it off, and we allow the Satan or Azazel to do its thing, which is Mavas. You kill it. You allow it to die. You allow it to die.
You're not pushing off the cliff. You're doing the same thing as slicing his neck with a knife.
No. You know, I don't know. It's funny that we're choosing a goat. The most sure-footed of all creatures. By far, the most sure-footed of all creatures.
Anything off the cliff.
Except in that one Simpsons.
He says, sure-footed as a mountain goat. And you saw this mountain goat like up on top of a hill, and it was, and it kept falling one after the other. If anybody knows what I'm talking about, it's from like 90, you'll remember, Ami. I think that's about it. There was one. It was as sure-footed as a mountain goat, and you see a mountain goat slip off a mountain. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. But regardless, yeah, the point is that there's the goat is given over anything else. Now, I understand what you're saying, Benjamin. It's automatic that it's going to die. And again, that is, our Kodesh Baruch Hu tells us what to do with it. It's not like we're doing this on our own. But it's not a korban. That's the point. It's not shechted in the normal way. It's not done in the Beis HaMikdash Tu Azazel. It's not done in the normal way that we're doing. So says the Ramban, that's why it's different. That's what it means in Unkelus when it says we do it Lishma de Hashem u'Azazel. It's not Lishma de Azazel. That's not what you're doing it for. It's L'Shem Hashem and for Azazel. For Azazel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give it over to. And that's what the idea behind it. Says the Ramban, this is what David has referred to when he said the word 33. Okay, he said that when he referred to 33, he's referring to the fact that it's going on into this pasuk over here and saying giving over korbanos to shadim is usur. Giving over korbanos and shechting them and giving them over on your own is usur. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to do so because he knows there's a benefit to this, that somehow something good comes from this, you must do it. Not a question of some. And if you want to compare it, what's the difference between this and the Kruvim? We have two golden statues sitting on top of the Aron Kodesh. Golden statues of angels sitting on top of the Aron Kodesh and the Kodesh HaGedashim in the Beis HaMikdash. How is that? How are we allowed to make idols in the Beis HaMikdash? And the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to do it, so we do it. Meaning, there are certain things that we don't ask on. You don't ask on Shatnez, you don't ask on Paradum, you don't ask on why can't it eat pig or Basa B'chalav. You don't ask on the Seir La'Azazel, and you don't ask on the Kruv in the Beis HaMikdash. There are reasons why, through Kabbalah, through the deeper secrets of the Torah, and the Ramban is hinting to it over here, hinting to what those secrets
are. The Kruvim and the Seir La'Azazel and milk and meat or whatever. Milk and meat, okay, do something. It seems strange, okay, but if we do it, this flies in the face of everything we've been taught otherwise. The other two things, the Kruvim and the Seir La'Azazel. So that begs the question a lot more than.
I agree on that side that it's different from those types of things. However, regardless, Paraduma could be more comparable. The reason why is because Paraduma is not done in any which way, anything like anything else. It's shechted and then brought outside the basement station, burned down to ashes, which we don't do anywhere, not even on a Mizbeach, not anything like that. And then we take the ashes and mix it in and throw it on somebody.
The act of doing that is not a sin in and of itself. Like slaughtering an animal in general and burning it and...
I understand, but this is a korban, the paraduma. The paraduma goes against everything in the face of a korban. So I hear it, but if you really want, we could come up with other examples. The egla rufa, then also egla rufa.
Good.
He's dictating over here as well.
Here, though, it seems like a little bit...
No, this is pure dictation. We're not adding on.
I'm a player in this. That's the whole point. Every paraduma, the dressing the cattle, all those things... are for Hashem or for us to show us something or to purify us for Hashem.
Before you go on, the Egla Rufa is done for the Tzara Tuma. That's mentioned as well. That's not for anything else. It's to be machaper for the dead, for the person who died. That's what it's supposed to be. So it is for Misa. So I definitely hear you, but before you go on and the Egla Rufa, if that's your side, then I can argue that Egla Rufa is the other way as well. Some could taina that the Paraduma is that way as well. Remember, the Paraduma is a kapara for death. It's kapara for Tumas Meis. It's for Tuma.
All this is for kapara for them. Sending something off to Azazel is like a different, it's some other force you're speaking.
The wording that we just spoke about right over here in Pasuk Yud is lechaper alav. It is a kapara. It's supposed to be mechaper for all of Bnei Israel's sins. Of course it's to Hashem. Who else are we mechaper from? That's the kapara. The kapara is Jewakar Shpar. Again, it's not a gift from us. It's a gift through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to do it. That makes it very different. You're not giving a gift to yourself. You wouldn't be allowed to. Yeah, that would be the line behind it. Now listen to the Shari Aaron brings down a sefer, the Tzur Hamor. He brings this mashal of the Ramban, but he really adds on a little bit to it. The Tzur Hamor really explains it a lot better. Listen to this, the mashal. There was once a great king who commanded his people to act properly and stay away from theft, arise, and other terrible sins. He appointed a very cruel chief of police whose job it was to tell the king whenever someone went out of the line.
divine and did something bad. One day a year, this man would come in and list off all the terrible things that the people of his nation had done, and this man had notes on everyone. And the king would hear the notes on everybody, and then they would be judged a few days later, let's say 10 days later, based on his performance. Some would be rewarded for their great deeds, and others were punished because of what this cruel man said about what they had done. There was one man in the kingdom that the king loved very much and wanted to reward him greatly, but he was a terrible sinner who gave in to his base desires quite often. A few days before judgment day, the king sent a message to this man saying that he will be fined a significant amount of money for his sins that must be paid immediately to the king's coffers. This money was then handed out to each one of the king's ministers on judgment day, on that actual judgment day, except to one guy. The cruel chief did not get a single penny of any of this guy's money. Okay, 10 days passed, and then he called in his friend, gave him a portion of the money that was the fine that he had already sent to the king, and told him to deliver it to the house of the police chief, so that the police chief sees how chashuv he is in the eyes of the king. The police chief was already upset and was wondering why he wasn't given a gift 10 days earlier like every other ministering angel was. And now he sees a great sinner giving him his gift from the king. He was worried to say anything bad about him, so his accusations were thrown away and he left them alone. Instead, he praised the king's friend and asked for him to be rewarded instead of a great punishment. That's the mashal that Tzvi Amar gives. That is a tremendous mashal. Tremendous mashal. I hope you guys could have figured that out. It was that bad. It was Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Okay, we got it. The Satan. And then we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, there is no giving of a gift from the guy. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing it so that the accuser won't accuse as badly. It's an unbelievable mashal. Leaves out anything. There's no gift to Avodah Zarah. It's not like HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to do this in the first place. The king gets to decide what he wants to do in the first place. He just doesn't want the accusations there. He doesn't want there to be any accusatory statements there. That's the reason why he's doing it. It really is a crazy little line, a really crazy line brought from the Tzvi Amar. And if you think about this Ramban, if you go through it, look through this Ramban yourself, it's a big Ramban. It's an amazing Ramban. The Orach Chaim, we're going to end off with this. There's a Mishnah novels, Perek Dalet Mishnah Yud Aleph, that says, "Osa mitzvah achas kona lo saneger echad." You do a mitzvah, you get a saneger. That's a defending angel. Okay? "Va'over avera achas," you do an avera kona lo kateger achas. That means that you're going to get an accusing angel. You're going to have something, some big accusation, something terrible against you. It's a scary thing. If you do something wrong, whether you mean to or you don't mean to, even the shogig, even the ones, it doesn't matter, you automatically create something tame that could be mazik or mitzara person, even by accident. Even I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know it. Nonetheless, you created a mazik through your action. You created it. It's there already, and it's just there. Hashem gave us a tremendous chesed that for anything we didn't mean to do, if you did it by shogig or we did it by ones, we can erase that evil by bringing a korban and having the proper korbanos. You bring a korban, everything's all gone. It's completely gone. But that only works. I'm sorry.
Ones doesn't have a korban. Shogig.
It's not that way. You'd have to say there would be something like a almost like a korban lamezit or something like that, in which it would be somewhat of a shogig. But an ones is in ones gummer. No, there wouldn't be any kapar for that. That only works, however, if the sin is b'shogeg. It's not going to work if it's benazin, as you just said. If it's really b'onis, it's not there. If it's benazin especially, it's too much filth involved. A korban is not enough to be able to get rid of the filth that's created by your deeds. That's where the Seir La'Azazel comes in. The Seir La'Azazel has the ability to mechaper for all the sins of Klal Yisrael. The chesed of Hashem is that it happens once a year on Yom Kippur, and the Kohen Gadol does it. By leaning on the animal, he's literally transferring over the tumah of all of Klal Yisrael onto the animal. He's being mechaper through this goat, and that this goat is now holding on to literally avera after avera avera, all the tumah that we create in the world from all of our sins all year long. He has, the goat has on it. It's sitting with there. Such filth can't be brought in front of Hashem. The king doesn't want to see such a thing. It can only be brought to a malach that typically deals with this type of filth all day long. A malach that knows all about our sins. So he takes the seer outside the Beis HaMikdash, and it's accepted by that malach for what it is. For what it is, and he brings back the kapara in front of the king. Mashal, he says, the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, day for Mishalom, to a king who gives his son, the prince, beautiful clothing. And if there's a little schmutz on it, the king will just rub it off, get rid of it, and it'll be clean again and perfectly fine. But the clothes are filled with mud and they reek of sweat. The king commands one of his lowliest servants, a servant that's used to this sort of thing, to take the clothing far away and to destroy it, so it should never be seen again. Never be seen again. And that's the idea. That's the concept of what we're trying to do. We're trying to get rid of those sins and send them all the way out. Nonetheless, the korban is accepted by Hashem just indirectly. So the satan is not accepting the korban. The satan is the only method, the only means that we have of bringing such a stain-filled, such a hate-filled korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A regular hate for a shogig we can do in the base of Mikdash. Because God isn't so angry when it's just a shogig. That's just a little schmutz. Something like this, we have no choice but to send it out for a different malach to bring it in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Instead of Sandal or a Kasri or any of them, the Mekat or any of those angels out there, we need Sam to take it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And thus it's brought over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Sam, not through anybody else, through Azazel, and that's the way it goes. So you hear this difference? The Ramban was saying that it's literally given over as a bribe in order to get rid of this guy so his accusations aren't there. The Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, no, it's not a bribe. It has nothing to do with him. We don't care. God doesn't care about the accusing angel. The accusing angel can't do anything that God doesn't want to do. All it is it's given over, not as a gift, but this is the only method of bringing it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to take the korban and give it to him in order for him to bring it up to Hashem. Because otherwise it won't go. The chait and the chatoim are too much for it to go straight up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an amazing idea from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. So it's still going to Hashem, just through a different method than our normal korbanos. That's the different method altogether. We're going to end with this. The Shach asks why we do this in Yom Kippur. Why in Yom Kippur? The one day that the satan has no power.
But isn't the reason he doesn't have power?
I thought that. My first answer was, that's the reason why not. It's 100% that. Because HaSatan is a gematria 364. The only day he doesn't work is Yom Kippur, which of course is why nobody sins on Yom Kippur, and we know that, right? Nobody can ever sin on Yom Kippur. So why not? Why then? And that was my answer. My answer was, I thought originally, I looked at it, I was like, because of this. This is the reason why. But he says like this, any other day, the satan wouldn't accept it, because he knows why you're bringing it. He knows you're bringing it, so he doesn't accuse you. This is the one day where he can't accuse. He can't. And yet you're still bringing him a korban, so to speak. You know, giving him the gift. If you're bringing on this day when he doesn't have that power, he sees that you're doing it because you actually like him, so to speak. Because of that, he feels better about you for the rest of the year. And that's the reason why he becomes blind. I'm sorry? I don't know. It's not really feeling, so to speak.
I'm saying he's an angel. He doesn't have an independence.
Yeah, 100%. It's not a real thing. But that is why he's called Sam. Now, I've been saying Sam the whole time. I don't like saying the full word.
Hold on.
The word Sam. Samach Mem Aleph Lamed, which is mentioned throughout the Gemara, you'll see it in Rashi a bunch of times. Samach Mem Aleph Lamed really comes from the word Suma, as in blind. And that's what it refers to, that he's a blinded person from what this is, and this allows him, you'd have to still go through the Ramban in order to understand, but the Shach is just adding on to the Ramban. Yeah, what are you going to say, Ron?
We learned many times that the Satan is not a normal angel, and he was given a crazy amount of power, and he is kind of independent.
Not more than Michal. Not more than Michal. Michal was still given more. Michal, Gabriel, Uriel, and Raphael are still on the Kisei HaKavod, which means they're more powerful and they have more koach. So not more than any one of those four. Right? So if anything you can do, they can't get past those four. Those four come first and then comes everybody else. Anyway, guys, what we went through today was we went through the words of Azazel. We went through the Ibn Ezra that said 33, and we gave five different perushim how 33 works. We went through the Ramban, which still takes a lot of work, and we went through its mashal. We explained the mashal a little bit better with the Tzur Hamor, and then we explained the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, which is totally different shot, and we ended with a little shach that explains why it's on Yom Kippur. We'll stop with that. Happy Shabbos.